KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. We also keep our eyes on the great pedestrian trails and the great wilderness that we have to hike around in. And that is what we are touching on today. Today, my co-host, Roger James, and I are talking with John Soares, who has written the book on the topic, or I should say several books on the topic. Good morning, all.
Morning, Cliff.
Good morning, indeed.
Good morning, Cliff and Roger. I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, indeed. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. We really do have an area to explore here in Humboldt and the surrounding counties as well.
Yes, you absolutely do. Of course, Humboldt County is a hiking mecca, and you have areas to the north view of Del Norte County, and of course, heading to the east to the Trinity Alps and off the Mount Shasta area and Marble Mountain Wilderness. There is lots and lots to do and explore. Absolutely.
Absolutely, indeed. Fantastic. Now, I guess you have recently written a couple of books on this, right?
Yes, I have two brand spanking new books out hot off the press, both from the Mountaineers Books, which is one of the major outdoor publishers in the world. One of the books is called Day Hiking Mount Shasta, Lassen, and Trinity Alps Regions. That runs from Redding up to about Yreka, and then from the Trinity Alps through Mount Shasta over to Lassen Volcanic National Park, and then more relevant, I think, for Humboldt County hikers is 100 Classic Hikes Northern California, now in its fourth edition, that has quite a few trails in Humboldt County and then also very near Humboldt County, especially out in the Trinity Alps, so in the stomping grounds of the folks that live in Humboldt County.
Fantastic. What got you so passionate about this?
I started out just as a little boy really loving the outdoors. I just spent a lot of time outside. I was very fortunate to grow up on 3 acres outside of Anderson, California, which is very near Redding, California. I spent a lot of time hiking in the foothills outside of my house, and that's really where I got into hiking, and I hiked with my brothers a lot there, my two older brothers, and by the time I was a teenager, we were backpacking in the Trinity Alps, and that's where I really got the bug for hiking and backpacking, and from there, I explored all over Northern California, Western United States, and I've hiked in Europe and Central America and Mexico and lots of places.
Fantastic. I guess exploring all this as a kid really does set that passion. I grew up in Southern California in the L.A. area in the western part of the San Fernando Valley, which in the very early 1960s was, you know, fairly sparse. And there was a lot of hills that I used to explore as a kid and climb into the different caves and look for bats and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, even in places like L.A., there were areas to explore. So and of course, I still love getting out into the great outdoors. That definitely was set into a passion into me, and clearly it was for you. How many different books have you written thus far?
I have written hiking guidebooks. Mm-hmm. I've gone through now in the fourth edition of 100 Classic Hikes in Northern California. That came out, first edition came out in 1994. My very first book was called Best Short Hikes Around the North Sacramento Valley. That came out in 92. And then in 96, 75 Hikes in California's Mount Shasta and Lassen Volcanic National Park region. So I would say it's 5 books in total now. And counting, I have a 6th book that's coming out next spring in late May called Hiking the Parks, Redwood National and State Parks. That's also from Mountaineers Books. It's going to be an all-color book, and it starts at Trinidad Head, runs up through Patrick's Point State Park, and then has a ton of trails in Prairie Creek Redwood State Park, Del Norte, Redwood National Park, Jedediah, and then a few hikes in Smith River National Recreation Area.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of those areas. They're absolutely stunning and just beautiful. And it really is handy to have a good guidebook. If someone is like new to this or wanting to explore deeper, what is handy about these books?
What's good about the books is that they both make it easy for you to choose the best hike for you. Each book has a chart at the beginning of the book that has the name of the trail, its length, its difficulty, mm-hmm. and the key features. So you can figure out, you can look from knowing your own hiking ability and how much time you have and what you want in a hike, you can pick the right hike for you. And then each individual hike at the beginning has what we call an information block that has that same information, but then even more information about the trail surface, the total elevation gain, and things like that. So that books make it really easy to pick just the right hike for you.
Fantastic.
Hey, John,
each hike,
John, I'm curious.
Hike,
you know, yeah, most, go ahead. Many of us are really passionate about hiking, but most of us don't write books about it. So what inspired you to share this information with a broader audience?
From the time I was in my late teens, I wanted to be a writer. I did what most people do. I went to college. I got a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree. But that idea of wanting to write was always in the back of my head. In my early 30s, when I had finished graduate school, I was starting to teach political science courses part-time at Butte College and Shasta College in Northern California. I thought, boy, I really do want to write something. And I started thinking, what do I love to do? I love to hike. And I thought, well, let's see if I can write a hiking guidebook. So I did. I submitted a proposal to Mountaineers Books. They accepted it. And that's how it all got going.
Fantastic. Yeah. That is great. Did you have to like get an agent beforehand, or you just submit it yourself?
I submitted it myself.
Wow.
And there's different ways of looking at this. I submitted it myself, but the Mountaineers Books is actually a nonprofit organization. They are part of the Mountaineers, which is a major mountaineering outdoors group in the Pacific Northwest. So they aren't like some other big mainstream billion-dollar publishers where mm-hmm. they will write contracts that are very unfriendly to authors. They really tried to be fair with that. I've been quite happy working with them, and I felt like they were always fair and trying to do the right thing. So the main point is, if you're writing a book in another field or doing something like that, oftentimes it really is a good idea to have an agent.
Great. Speaking of the books, where does one pick them up?
They are in lots of bookstores. For example, throughout Northern California, they are at all the Barnes & Noble bookstores. They are at all the REI stores. They are in many outdoor stores. And they're in lots of the smaller independent bookstores, too. So very easy to get. And, of course, you can get them on Amazon mm-hmm. and BarnesandNoble.com and all the normal places that you would buy a book online. So they're quite easy to find. And if you go to my website, which is NorthernCaliforniaHikingTrails.com, I have a page dedicated to each book, which goes into detail how you can purchase the books, the various places to find them.
Fantastic. Now I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit. You've hiked a lot of different trails. If you had to pick one as your favorite, what would it be?
One is my favorite. I would have to say there's just so many, and it's just.
Okay, your top
the
three.
The place I've been going to most recently over the last couple of years, it's been my go-to place, is the Russian Wilderness. It's a place that many people haven't even heard of. I bet most of your listeners have heard of the Trinity Alps Wilderness, and a good number of them have also hiked in Trinity Alps Wilderness. Russian Wilderness is just to the north of Trinity Alps Wilderness. It's all granite. It's filled with gorgeous glacial lakes, steep, jagged peaks, and it has almost no people in it. It's not uncommon for me to hike in there. and have an entire drainage to myself, for example. And you both know Michael Kaufman, I'm sure.
Sure.
And he's the major conifer guy, right, among other things, plant-related.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Russian wilderness has an incredibly high level of conifer diversity. And Michael's book, Conifer Country, talks about a couple of hikes in the Russian wilderness that can take you to see 16, 17, 18 different conifer species. So it's just an incredible, wonderful area. My favorite hike there is going to Payne's Lake, which is accessible from the Pacific Crest Trail off a paved road just outside of Etna. And it's about 6.5 miles in. It's a pretty relatively easy hike to do. There's lots of campsites at Payne's Lake. It's great swimming. It's surrounded by rocks. And then you can do a fairly steep, partially cross-country climb up to Upper Albert Lake, which is truly special. Very small, very private, but good swimming, and hardly anybody ever goes there.
Wow. Now, the it's called the Russian Wilderness, I guess, because that was a long time ago. That area was a Russian territory, correct?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
I don't remember the exact reason why it's called the Russian Wilderness, but I don't think it. The Russians were along the Northern California coast, mm-hmm. and they had a fort and all that sort of stuff, but I don't think it was about that.
Okay. Interesting. I figured it could become a Russian wilderness again if things politically keep going the way they are right now.
Yes.
But that is beside the point. So really beautiful hiking there. And if you really want some solitary time with nature, that sounds like a place to be.
Absolutely.
That's always an amazing thing. I've done some hiking in the in the High Sierras, and you often get that same thing where you can be out for a week and not see anybody. No other human beings at all. It can be a kind of a wonderful thing. It really just gets you communing with nature.
If you pick the right routes, you really can miss most of the other hikers. Mm-hmm. For example, I was just over on the coast a few days ago getting some more final pictures for hiking the parks, Redwood National and State Parks. And so I went to Stout Grove in Jedediah Smith because that's a great place to get pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It was crawling with people, absolutely crawling with people, because people tend to migrate to certain spots mm-hmm. to hike, and Stout Grove is one of those. Yet there's other trails, like, for example, in Jedediah Smith, the Nickerson Ranch Trail. When I hiked that last fall, there was nobody on the trail. I just had it all to myself.
Yeah.
So there's always ways to avoid the crowds when you're hiking. You just have to figure out the right places to go.
Yeah, the Irvine Trail in Prairie Creek, and you're walking through old growth redwoods to the ocean, and often there is absolutely no one on that trail. You can walk for 10 miles and not see a person.
That's absolutely true.
And that's really one of my favorite spots in the area. It is absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning.
That is gorgeous. Prairie Creek is...
Yeah, it's special.
Yeah, words fail me. And I've had to put all these words about just how magnificent, gorgeous, stupendous redwood trees are. But Prairie Creek really just brings it all together because it's got the ocean right there and then just some of those monster redwoods. But comparing trails, the Prairie Creek Trail that leads from the visitor center, there's lots of people on that trail. But mm-hmm. like you say, you take the James Irvine Trail, there's nobody.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the nice things also about that this time of year is a lot of these trails inland can be very hot this time of year. And Prairie Creek, of course, being on the coast, is one of the cooler hikes for this time of year.
Absolutely. And another factor to take into consideration, especially this time of year, we're getting into what I call, unfortunately, the smoke season, where we're getting significant wildfires across the western United States, in California, Northern California, Southern Oregon, and that means, at times, substantial smoke in the Trinity Alps and or in the Sierra Nevada or Lassen Volcanic National Park, Mount Shasta, etc. The coast does get smoke sometimes, too.
Yep.
But overall, it has less of it, and it's less intense. than it is inland, just given the prevalent wind patterns that we have here in our part of the world. So it's a good place to be right now for get out of the heat, yes, but also to
out of the smoke.
Avoid the smoke, yes.
Yeah, indeed. And we were talking a little about this off air that you know, summer's always been fire season in California, but with the way things are heating up with climate change, it seems to be more of a regular thing to have an immense amount of fires with a lot of smoke, and it's unfortunately we'll probably be seeing this for the foreseeable future.
I think we likely will be seeing this for the foreseeable future, with hopefully some years that will buck that trend a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. Climate change has led to overall a lot less snowpack up at the high elevations, and that's just crucial. We need that snow up there and then slowly melting off during the summers to mitigate the fire risk, and that just hasn't been happening the last 10 years or so.
Yep.
So that's something to think about if you're planning your major backpacking trips.
Yep.
Consider going in June rather than in August, and many years, especially this year, there were people that were hiking in the Trinity Alps up to 6,000 feet, and they were up there in late April mm-hmm. and early May, and they would post pictures on Facebook, and there'd be little patches of snow here. Oh, maybe there's a little bit of ice in this lake, but 20, 30 years ago, that just didn't happen. That just didn't happen. There were some summers when you couldn't even get up to the high places,
too much snow,
even to the lake at 6,000, 6,500 feet, because there was just lots of snow there.
Yep. Yeah, it is unfortunate. And unfortunately, we are going to have to wrap it there because we are out of time. But John, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share this information with us this morning. I really appreciate that.
Oh, totally. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And Roger, thank you so much for pulling all this together. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And John, it's a pleasure to have a chance to chat with you and see the results of your passion and sharing it with the rest of us who need guidance out there in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In this conversation, you will find podcasts shortly at iTunes and at KHUM.com. Just look for Happy Trails.
Happy Trails.